Yo, it's Friday. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, happy Kobe Day.
Yes, happy Kobe Day. I'm glad you said that. That was something to put a smile on my face. Spike, Jackie Baseball, we're back in trouble again. We've lost another series. Holler at your boy.
There's no hollering, Ike.
No?
Whoa. You're refusing to holler.
No hollering.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, there will be hollering.
There will be hollering. Yeah. But there's no joy.
Right. Yes. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. Book your fantasy football party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles and the home of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Draft. We do have a big show. We have a giant station announcement coming up at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
We are making the station announcement. It will happen within the Mount Rush 4.
Yeah.
But the big station announcement will happen at 4 o'clock.
I tell you what, we only make big announcements during our show bits.
Yeah. They got to fit around our stuff.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. And coming up at 3 o'clock, we have Elliot Shore Parks talk about who will and who won't make the team for the Eagles. But obviously, as Ike said and Jack indicated, we have to talk about the Phillies. I just think after watching that game and hearing the reaction all day, there are too many people talking about Rob Thomson and this collapse we have seen so far, collapse-ish, from the Phillies. It's Rob Thomson. Why doesn't he have the players hitting better? Why is he putting this pitcher in? Why is he pinch hitting for that one? And I just think it's all misdirected. We could nitpick on game decisions for Rob Thomson, but this is not about Rob Thomson. This is about one of two things. This is about Dave Dombrowski, or it's about the players. See, I don't know what Rob Thomson's supposed to do when this team, when you look at it in totality, is exactly what they were last year. They are streaky. They have long times where they don't hit. They have long times where they do hit. The pitchers are pitching exactly as we would expect to pitch. Most of them probably better than we would expect. You look up and down the lineup, and aside from Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh, everybody's having a normal year. The team will end up around 90 wins, which is what happened last year, with the exact same team. So you're either mad that Dave Dombrowski did not put together a good enough team to be what you expect, or you're mad at the players for not performing, but this is not on Rob Thomson.
You're trying to tell me none of this falls on Rob Thomson?
I'm saying very little of it falls on Rob Thomson.
I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think the majority of the blame should be on Rob Thomson, but I believe it's fair criticism of Rob Thomson when we're talking about sustained bad baseball play, right? Like, if something is a week or two, somebody's in a slump, that's one thing. When you're talking 2.5, 3 months of this play, where does the manager fit in as far as changing things? He may not be the reason they're losing games, but he's not doing a whole lot to solve the issue. His touch, his gut feeling, sitting guys. Why is Alec Bohm sitting last night? Why?
Because they have like 12 games in a row. And they're all important.
God. They shouldn't be upset when they lose then. If it's okay for Bryce not to pinch hit at home because he needs to be rested, it's okay for Alec Bohm to sit when they're struggling to score runs in Atlanta, then we shouldn't be mad that they lose games. We shouldn't be mad about it.
No, it's not that we shouldn't be mad that they lose games. I'm looking at everything they've done this year, and I can't figure out how much. We didn't, at the end of the first 2 months, go, wow, Edmundo Sosa's hitting well because of Rob Thomson. Wow, Ranger Suarez
is playing well because Rob Thomson is playing Sosa. So he gets credit for playing those guys.
Well, he played Sosa because Trey Turner was hurt.
That's just an example that I'm using.
Okay.
I'm saying he gets credit when he plays those guys. When those guys play well and somebody is sitting, he gets the credit for it. His impact is always going to be minimal. I'm not saying he's the reason, but he is the last one on the totem pole who's received criticism. We criticized everybody else. Nobody has gone unscathed here. You've criticized Bryce. Like, nobody is gone without being criticized. Why can't we criticize this guy for not being able to push the right buttons to get this team turned around? It wasn't time for a team-only meeting. It only took 2.5 months for that. Like, we were foolish as fans to want something to be done in the moment. They told us, calm down. You know where they get that from? Their manager. He sets the tone in the clubhouse for the urgency. Now, whether that's coming from upstairs or what have you, he's following directions from upstairs, whatever. He's there as a liaison. He's there as a face, a figure for this organization as the manager. He has to explain what happens. He's the one telling everybody, don't panic. We'll be okay. They'll hit. Don't question this. Don't question that. I got this under control. Well, when it continues to happen, at some point, he has to have the finger pointed at him.
They have designed a team to have a manager like Rob Thompson. I'll tell you who should be taking some responsibility in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. It's the guy that feels comfortable telling them which players to sign. I don't know. I think if you're going to design a team with all of these veteran leaders, Bryce Harper, veteran leader, Trey Turner, veteran leader, Kyle Schwarber, veteran leader, JT Realmuto, veteran leader, veteran leader, veteran leader, veteran leader, all over the place. Just let them go. Let them do what they had. They don't want a manager up there telling them what to do. They have built a team for a manager like Rob Thompson. And to not put the leadership issues on those leadership players, to not put performance issues on those performance players, and to be quite honest with you, I don't think they're performing any different, at least in terms of individual statistics, than we could have. I think if you looked at this Bryce Harper year compared to every other Bryce Harper year, it's right in line. It's not his best year. It's not his worst year. It's right in line.
So you're blaming Bryce Harper for all this?
No, I'm saying this team has been built around veteran leadership, that they run that clubhouse, that Rob Thompson is just sort of this manager that lets them work their things out. If they're not working it out, That's on the construction of the team. It's on the players, but it's certainly not on the guy who we hired basically to just let them do what their job is. They're not doing their jobs. I don't know what he can do. He can move guys around in the lineup. He could sit a guy down or not sit a guy down. But ultimately, they are who they are, and they need to own up to it. And I do think a lot. While I agree that we can question what he does. I agree with that. I agree we can question what he does. But I think a large part of blaming Rob Thompson is people not being able to come to the realization that maybe they are not as good as we thought they were. And we look around, and I look at the Dodgers. Their two best players are two of the five best players, six best players in baseball. Mm-hmm. Otani and Mookie Betts. I look at the Yankees. Their two best players are two of the best players in baseball, two of the five, six best players in baseball, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. And then I look at our two best players, and Bryce Harper and Trey Turner are not two of the five best players in baseball. They might not even be two of the 10 best players in baseball. And we do not want to look at all this money spent and all this hope given and said, maybe they are not who we thought they were, we want to put it on Rob Thompson.
Well, it's not putting it on Rob Thompson. Has this team not underachieved over the last 3 months? Are you telling me they're playing to expectations right now?
I'm saying in totality they're playing to expectations. I agree with you.
There's no way. When I look at the last two seasons, a team that got off to a slow start in 2022 turned it around and made the World Series. Last year, a team that was basically missing their best player for the first half of the season because he's coming off Tommy John surgery, other guys having surgery, coming off the World Baseball Classic, all those types of things. They turned it around and got to the NLCS. A team that is completely healthy coming into the season and with a lot of these issues already resolved, showed us what they can look like when they're at their best through the first 60-odd games of the season. They showed us. I don't care about the opponents. I don't care about any of that stuff. They showed us what they could ultimately look like in the first half of the season. And somehow that has gone away. Now, you want to tell me that they aren't as good as what they showed us early in the season? That's fine. I can accept that. But I'm not going to buy that this is what they are as a baseball team and come to this reality if this is what they are. Are you kidding me? No, there's no way. With Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Suarez, Sanchez pitching the way he's pitching, this lineup of 4 to 5 $20-plus million players, you're telling me that they aren't better than a 500 to sub-500 baseball team?
I'm telling you, we could have spent that money more wisely and been better. And
all revisionist history, though. Because here's where that argument falls short, Spike. They have proven World Series, NLCS. They've done that in the back-to-back years.
Right, but they've also won 90 games in those back-to-back years.
I know,
so but all I would say
is... It's more to explain to that based on circumstances and guys not being available than it is me saying this is a roster that's been healthy for the most part, and now they're underperforming. At least I could explain why they didn't win 95 to 100 games the last couple of seasons. There's no explanation for that with this team this year. This team is damn near a 100-win team. It should be, is what I'm saying, is what it should be. Not the 105, 10, 15 they were on earlier, but a 95 to 100-win team, that's not asking too much from a $300 million payroll.
Yeah, I think that the $300 million payroll may have been spent the wrong way. I think we'll figure that out at the end of the season and how they're going to move forward, but just because you spend a lot of money doesn't mean that you get your money's worth, and it's the job of the general manager to make sure that he is getting as much production as he can out of every dollar he spent, and maybe he hasn't done that. 215-592-9494.
Eight guys to the All-Star game this year.
That was a long time ago.
A team record.
Felt like a different season.
215-592-9494.
Welcome to the show, Jack.
How much blame does Rob Thompson deserve? Jack, how much?
I don't want to be. I'm just kidding.
I don't
want to be here. So I think the Rob Thompson criticism is mostly unfair. And I've gotten to the point where I'm just mad at the guys. Like, I'm more mad at the players. Like, I think they're a veteran-laden team. And, like, part of the Rob Thompson thing was, okay, again, like Spike said, like, we're going to let you kind of run this clubhouse. Like, this is Schwarber's clubhouse. This is Harper's clubhouse. And it's like, at some point, there has to be some kind of personal pride to pull themselves out of this. Like, I don't think it's the Rob Thompson. Like, they called a team meeting. They tried that. They thought they got out of it. Like, at this point, it falls on these guys. I think he has tried things. They're always going to try to manage stuff. Last night was ridiculous. Like, I agree with you. Like, Alec Bohm should have played last night. We don't need to worry about managing him. And by the way, if you want to get Weston Wilson in the lineup, play him in left field. For Brandon Marsh, who has struck out 25 of his last 50 plate appearances. Like, let's grow up with that nonsense. Like,
whose decision is that?
Yeah, I agree. That's a Rob Thompson slash load management and the injury thing. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to why this team is struggling, like, that's where I come back to these guys on offense are the ones that are cratering this
team.
Sure.
Listen, we may be arguing two different things here. That's not what I'm arguing against. What I'm arguing against or pushing back against is that Rob Thompson somehow doesn't deserve some blame here.
Sure.
That's what I'm pushing back against.
Uh-huh.
I'm not telling you the players don't deserve the majority of the blame, but we've been yelling about the players for 2 months. You told me 2 months ago it wasn't Rob Thompson. You told me a month ago it wasn't Rob Thompson. Mm-hmm. And now today we sit here still losing series, still can't score, still sitting guys when they shouldn't. Leaving guys in too long. You realize that we were one hit away from being swept in Atlanta because Alvarado was left in the game the other night. We were lucky to get out of that game.
Absolutely.
With a win.
Absolutely we were lucky. Absolutely. If Brandon Marsh strikes out with Weston Wilson on third, we lose that game.
So I think fans, the ones that are looking at Thompson,
mm-hmm.
we're frustrated to our wit's end. We're tired of yelling about Bryce this and Stott that and Trey Turner this and Alec Bohm don't hit home runs and Aaron Nola's not an ace. Like, we've been doing that. When does the manager put his fingerprints on this thing? Why is he above criticism? That's what I don't get. Nick Sirianni gets told, keep your hands off the team. Just be a cheerleader. But everybody is ready to fire him the moment the team is not playing well. He's essentially Rob Thompson. But we'll be ready to fire him as soon as the team goes 1-3.
Well, so.
But with Rob Thompson, we can't do anything. We can't even criticize him.
I think there's a double standard. I agree with you. The difference is I'm not ready to give Rob Thompson all sorts of credit for them being good either. But that's a completely different discussion about how we handle it when he's good, because he certainly gets tons of credit.
And he should get it.
And got more credit than Sirianni ever got.
Yes.
I would agree with you there. Now, before we go to the phones, it's a very important day in that we have four spots. Well, five, but we only have 4 hours, so we'll have to figure it out.
We'll have to find that last spot.
We are giving away one spot an hour for the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. You have to tell us why you deserve it. Beg? I don't care. Tell us why you're good at it? I don't care. It's up to you to be creative with it. We have five spots left. We will give them all away today, at least one an hour. You have to be available next Wednesday at 5 o'clock for the draft. You have to be able to come in person.
I mean, we've had some, like, I think the so far we've done this, if I had to give it a grade, I would probably say a nice little C plus.
Oh, like, yes. Yeah. They've been fine.
Like,
some people better than others.
Again, like, I want, like, real submissions today.
Yeah.
Like, why do you, it's a pretty prestigious league.
Yeah, show us why you care. Show us, give us something creative, and you can get in the Fantasy Football League today. We have five spots left. 215-592-9494. Of course, you have to call with your sports point to lead. All right, kicking us off, Lawrence in Philadelphia. You're on WIP. What up, Lawrence?
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What up, Lawrence?
Mike, what's going on? How y'all doing today, man? Look, man, I don't want to toot my own horn, man. I've been keep saying this, man, since the last road trip. If they was only going 1-3 wins, they won 4. This road trip, they probably just win the one they won against Atlanta. But Kansas City is going to show them how far they're back.
Congratulations. Why does that make you so happy, Lawrence?
It doesn't make me so happy.
It sounds like you're pretty happy. I got to be honest with you.
No, I'm not happy. I love this. It's just the fact that I know baseball. And I know that you need to put Harper in the two-hole and put Schwarber in the four-hole.
What difference would that make? Bryce Harper's hitting like zero over the last. What difference would it make having a guy hitting zero third or a guy hitting zero second?
Because other teams know that all they got to do is walk Schwarber, and we just concentrate on the other players in the back. We know Harper's bad third. We good with that. They're good with that. They just going to make them chase ball. But if you got Turner in the first spot, that means a lot of pressure on him. And you got Harper batting second, and that makes Turner know, I got to get on base. Then you got Bone batting third, then you got your cleanup hitter. Ain't no other team in the league besides the Dodgers that got a power hitter that's batting first, and that's Otani. And look at his numbers. Look at his Otani numbers.
Yeah.
Stolen bases, RBIs, home runs, plus he's a pitcher. So I'm just saying, man, look, I love Topper, but Topper is so stubborn, man. With the righty, everything is not working, and you guys can see it's not working. That's why we're going on a downward tone from the last 3 years. That's all I'm saying, right? But I'm just saying.
I honestly don't think they're downward from the last few years.
Like, they're chasing at 49% of pitches. That doesn't matter who is batting leadoff, second, third, or fourth, Lawrence. Like, this isn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It would not matter. Kyle Schwarber is more of a stressful leadoff hitter than Trey Turner, who just chases everything out of the strike zone. You really think he's more stressed facing Trey Turner or Kyle Schwarber?
But that's not the point, though. The point
of course it's the point. Of course it's the point. Because if they're going to walk him, guess what? That gets runners on base. Do you think that matters? Do you think that has value?
Because if you –
of course it has value. Of course it has value. He's going to drive in 100 runs from the leadoff spot. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
This is what I'm talking about.
All the fans, like myself, is trying to understand why if you don't make a move – then you're going to be talking about who the next manager is going to be next year. And that next manager might come in like, look, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to have Turner batting first, Harper batting second, Bone batting third, Schwarber batting fourth, Castellano batting fifth, and I'm going to have Realmuto batting sixth.
Well, that'll be magic.
Winning.
Just have
that
them.
That is called winning, man. I played this game for
I know.
I can tell.
60 years.
I know. Yep.
That's what I'm saying, man. Look, man, I love this team. And you can feel my passion in me, man. But, you know.
I disagree.
Topper, look, he's going to go somewhere else and be, he won't be a manager. He'd probably be somebody assistant manager like he was with Girardi. And that's the bottom line. Y'all guys don't get it, man. I mean, look, I know y'all love Topper, just like I said. But he's so stubborn that he won't make a change. For the fans, that we pay all our money, go on the road, pay all our money, everything, merchandise, you can name the whole nine yards. But when you keep on kickballs consistently, insanely, putting a team out there that can't even get a hit.
Thank you for the call. I understand lineup tweaks. I do. I just can't imagine that moving a guy one spot in the lineup all of a sudden, and by the way, after the first inning, nobody's leading off anymore. Right? I mean, like, the guys at the top of the lineup, you could make an argument that if Bryce Harper's your best hitter, he should lead off. I've seen it before. Yep. I understand the Ohtani thing. Yep. They did it with Aaron Judge for a while. I get it. But he's not your best hitter right now. He's not hitting at all. So I guess I don't.
But would he see more fastballs in that leadoff spot? Would he see more pitches to hit in that leadoff spot?
Maybe in the first inning. I'm not sure that he'd see more fastballs after the first inning.
I'm just saying it works for Kyle Schwarber.
It does work.
That's why he doesn't want to get out of the spot.
Yeah, and but by the way, like the team has. If we're going to talk about past success, which we talked about a little bit, and what the team has done prior, mm-hmm. the team has done that with Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot.
Yeah,
you know. So I guess.
I don't think one thing changes everything for the team. That part I do agree with you. I think these guys certainly need to play better. But, man, I think this has been going on so long we run out of answers. We run out of ways to try to fix it.
I think what Thompson is trying to do is say, look, I know where everybody is most comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I will bet on leaving them in their most comfortable spot and hoping that it turns around, as opposed to putting them in a spot where they're not comfortable.
Right.
And then if it doesn't work, what do I do then?
Right.
Do I move everybody else back? And mm-hmm. So to me, sometimes the lineup stuff day to day is like deck chairs on the Titanic. I don't think it makes that much a difference. Now, if you're going to have a completely different philosophy and say Schwarber's not the leadoff hitter anymore, that's not how I want to run my team, that's a completely different situation. And by the way, I don't think that's just Topper. I think that is him and Dombrowski. I think that's a much bigger conversation than about the how the team is run. But I think day-to-day, just mixing up the lineup, I'm just not sure that that makes any bit of a difference.
Well, what annoys me is like, all right, so like with these guys, right? You let Arcia stare down your team last night or two nights ago, and there's no retaliation. Like, they came back and they won the game. That's good. It's just like at some point the personal pride has to take over with these guys as well. Like, Strom hit a guy a couple weeks ago to protect Castellanos. It's like, all right, there's a little moment. Like, there's a little thing. Like, where is some of that togetherness? Like, they talk about the resiliency, and like, I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about resiliency until we see it. Like, where is that?
So I'm gonna say this. Sometimes a message, if you heard it enough, can start to fall on deaf ears. And here's what I mean by that. Tony Dungy was a great coach, great head coach, great man, great leader of men. It didn't work in Tampa Bay anymore. It got them so far. It didn't work anymore. Ownership must have felt like, you know, Coach Dungy is a great man. He's a great man of faith. But this team needs something else. They may need to be pushed a little bit more.
Yeah.
They brought in a taskmaster and John Gruden. They won a Super Bowl in John Gruden's first year.
Yeah, there might be the argument that the locker room, they're all too comfortable with each other and they're too comfortable with him.
Yes.
Now, that would be an argument for replacing him.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying if things keep going the way.
Yes.
Because what else there is to think about?
Right.
If this thing keeps going down this path,
oh, yeah.
Right.
You can't tell me at the end of the season Topper's not getting blamed for it.
You could make the – in fact, I would make the argument on replacing him over telling him to do something.
Oh, sure. Let him go out his way.
Yeah. You think everyone's too comfortable, which, by the way, with a team that is – they all like each other and afraid of stepping on each other's toes, and there's not really a loud guy in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. You could make that argument because those guys wear out their welcome too. Those messages.
Those tyrants and all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
But maybe if they
just
don't –
just like Gruden did, he wore out.
Right. It happens in every sport.
Yep.
Doug Collins is famous, by the way, for wearing out his welcome. There are plenty of coaches. Like Tom Thibodeau has generally wore out his
Larry
welcome.
Brown.
Larry Brown. And if that is where we are – that'll be a conversation for after the year. I don't think anybody's firing Rob Thompson in the middle of the season.
No, no.
But I think that would be a conversation for after
can
the
we,
year.
Yeah. Can we get Boa in a jersey and, go, and hang out in the clubhouse for the rest of the season?
Would not mind that at all.
Because you think about it, John Middleton is not going to be happy.
No.
Well, he's
at
off,
the
he's
end
off,
of the season.
He's not happy right now.
That's what I'm saying. So he's already sort of letting it be known that things ain't going to just stay status quo.
And Spike, you were here for this. Obviously, we had the show. He brought Charlie Manuel in to be the hitting coach in 2019.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like
that's when you knew, by the way, that Gabe was done.
Yes.
You know? And there's no way. There is absolutely no way. If this team falters, if they do not get it back together or have a run in the playoffs, nobody will be safe with Middleton. No. He's not going to just sit there and let all this happen. All right. Yeah. We have your final shots to get in the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy League. You have to tell us why. We're talking about Rob Thompson. Does he deserve more blame, less blame, no blame at all? 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, the perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game, official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, yeah.
No. I know everybody loves Bruce. No.
10th Avenue, freeze out.
Nah.
It's the only good song. It's his only good song. Yeah!
No.
That's Dolan's right there.
It's his birthday today, too. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Bruce is way overrated. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's music.
Are we doing Bruce all day?
All day.
Oh.
On the 30s. Is that what they would call it in music radio?
What you would say bottom of the hour.
Yeah. Well, Bruce on the 30s is what I'm calling it.
Oh, is that what you're going to call
it? Yeah. So take that and shove it.
I don't approve. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles and the home. This is much bigger than the Eagles thing, the home of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Draft. We have our final five spots. We're going to give away one an hour today. You got to call with your sports point, and then you got to beg your way in. We are talking about Rob Thompson. Phillies continue to slide. They're back. They're not back. They're back. They're not back. I think most of the criticisms of Rob Thompson is people coping because they don't want to deal with the fact that this is overall who the team is. Ike thinks Thompson needs some blame. Jack is melting down.
He definitely needs blame. He's definitely not blameless here. It's like, how long are we going to keep doing the same thing over and over again before it's like someone's got to change something up down there? They're breaking out the curveball machine today, so maybe
no!
That's a great sign.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's a great sign.
No, you should have seen the quote. You should have seen my reaction
to the quote.
We're doomed. Wait, I might...
We're doomed.
Yeah, I might have to change course here. They might... The curveball machine?
Yeah, the curveball.
The curveball machine we all made fun of for 4 years?
Non-ball players made fun of it. The curveball machine's been...
Bryce made fun of it.
He's a different cat.
Okay.
It's a real thing. It's not,
wow, you really are a company man.
It's not the left-handed curveball machine.
Defending the curveball machine.
Whoa, it's a real thing.
This is where I jump off the bandwagon.
It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
This is terrifying, Jack. Terrifying.
Bryce is not hitting off that damn thing.
Well, he better be better.
Did Bryce go 0 for 14 against a curveball machine?
I want them to just I want them to stand up there and just look at it. And have it just, I don't even think a hack.
Take it.
Mental reps, whatever. The chasing is absurd.
215-592-9494. Rick and Easton, you're on WIP. What up, Rick?
I totally agree with all three of you. It's absolutely incredible if you think about it. First of all, Spike first. They spent $1 billion on those players, not $300 million. If you add up all those salaries of those five players,
sure,
I mean, in
I'm
totality,
just looking at it annually.
I think their payroll is 304. Yeah, you know, their annual payroll.
Ike, I totally agree with you. When I noticed Boehm wasn't in that lineup, I'm like, what? So they lost Olsen, so we want to neutralize the playing field and take Boehm off the field. Plus the fact we put a third baseman out there. You know what, guys? I played in high school and college. I'm not going to compare myself to pro baseball. But the bottom line here is, if we blew a run down as easy as Sanchez and Harper did 3 weeks ago, and as easy as Wilson did yesterday, we'd be running 10 miles if we mentally blew a run down.
Yeah, isn't the point here? I know we're complaining about Weston Wilson being at third base. I get it. But you just said...
That's a managerial decision.
But you just said... Bryce Harper blew a run down 2 weeks ago from first to second. It was Bryce and Trey Turner.
The Guardians game.
Yeah. Like
Sanchez, because he did not run right at the runner with the ball in the air. If Sanchez runs right at the...
Listen, we don't need to break down the rundown, so I appreciate it.
I don't want to break that down either, because I have more important points to talk to you about.
Thank you.
You know, we hear it's baseball. It's baseball. I'm sick and tired of hearing it's baseball.
Me too.
A slump once in a while is baseball. I watched the Detroit Tigers and the Cardinals in the 60s go 30 games over 500. The Oakland A's their dynasty. The Yankees' dynasties, I didn't see the Yankees back in the 20s and 30s, but even the dynasties that win 30 games over 500, even the Atlanta Braves the last couple years, none of those teams, unless they lost two great players for the year, totally melt down like this. It just doesn't happen.
But look, I can't believe I'm on the other side of this. The Yankees were garbage for the first 6 weeks of this season. Aaron Judge was garbage for the first month of this season.
I don't mean this Yankee team this year.
I know, but I think to a certain extent, and I think they should be better too. And truly, the last 2.5 months, I agree with you. You can't just it's baseball it away. I agree with you. But I would go so far as to say that every team that is contending this year has had extended stretches when they have not been good.
But not 600 baseball down to sub 500.
I know, but my point is that the 600 baseball was just as unrealistic as this is.
Absolutely, but they didn't get there with smoke and mirrors.
Well, they sort of did.
They still have a very talented team. You just can't change one or two guys at this point and think it's going to change things around. You got to hope the team gets hot in October like everybody else has.
Sure, yes. I appreciate the call, Rick. I do think there were some smoke and mirrors in the first couple of months of this season. I do. Like, you can't look at the performance of the bullpen, of Ranger Suarez, those two things alone.
Well, that's why I was going to start. I was going to say, so you must be saying the pitching wasn't as good as we thought it was.
Well, the pitching.
And I'm not saying that the pitching is the reason why they're struggling now.
But the pitching was why they were an outlier.
Yes.
Good. The reason that they were 25 games over 500 and not 12 games over 500 or whatever it was is because the pitching was outrageous.
Yeah, it took them from a good team to a, on paper, great team.
Yeah, Ranger was 10-1 with an ERA of 1.5.
Yeah.
And
was that this year?
Yes. Believe it or not, it was this year.
Well, if you're looking, all right, the one silver lining of the Braves series is that the pitching staff looked pretty good.
Like, yes.
If the offense can figure it out.
Against that lineup. And listen.
Well, I guess that lineup's not exactly what
it is. Well, I know, but it still felt like a better lineup.
It was better than you made it sound.
Yes.
I would say.
I actually don't know if that's true.
Oh, really?
I mean, Whit Merrifield stinks. Like, he was batting two.
Sure.
Luriano stinks. Gio Urshela stinks. Like, Olsen and Michael Harris is a good player.
Arcia.
And Arcia is a fine player.
Ozuna is obviously a good player.
Ozuna's
the MVP. They're better than the Marlins and the Nationals.
Yeah. Right.
That's for 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
That's basically what I was saying, yes.
Bullpen looked pretty good, and the starting rotation looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, those are positives.
Yeah.
It's just the offense that I think is driving
it's
everyone
It's unbelievable,
nuts.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure it's the offense. No doubt it's the offense that's driving everybody crazy.
215-592-9494. Now, I wonder if this guy's even going to make pretend that he is calling about the Phillies.
No, just why does he deserve to be in the league?
Yoshi, why do you deserve to be in the league? Why should we break the rules for you, buddy?
Well, hold on. Hello, my man Spike. Big Ike. Jackie, baby. Happy Friday. Now, listen. I'm on a sabbatical from the Phillies until Thursday, August 29th, 2024, when this Braves series comes around again at home, when I believe we start our consistency of winning towards the end goal. Now, like Aaron said yesterday, y'all know why I'm calling. I'm active in the league. I'm Howie Roseman-like. I'm present in the chat, on the radio. I'm respectful to the league. I'm respected from it. I've had people call up this year, Justin, everyone loves. I love him, and he loves me. Gary saying we should be teammates this year. Wade from Chester saying last year I should be in the league because I keep everyone up on things. Last year, I lost in the Final Four. The year previous, the 2 years, you know, the year when I was in it prior, I lost in the championship to Johnny Mark. I'm letting you know I'm a contender. Ike Reese in this league.
Come on, man.
That's a good one.
Come on, man.
Thank you for pointing out.
You ain't got no voice, no vote, so I'm going to let it be known. Like I tell you, every year that I played you after the second game and beat you, I own you, Ike Reese. I own you. You need to influence your friends to let me in. If you want me to stop owning you, I know I'm in your head during the season. I know you can't sleep playing fantasy. When
it's part
comes
true.
To me,
yeah.
Ike,
that's some truth to
you
this.
Want me, It is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
4-0.
I don't know if it's 4-0.
It might be 5-0. I might have to check the records. Yeah.
And my memory's a little cloudy here. You throwing out these numbers, and I can't really refute them right now because I can't remember.
You know what? Let me go do my pictures.
It's like arguing with OG.
I've screenshotted them, Ike-Reese. I've defined them for you. Yes, because to be able to be around my friends who know that I'm somewhat cool with Ike-Reese, and then for me to bring up, I'd be Ike-Reese in fantasy. That's a cool thing to say. Number 58 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Forget the Falcons. Number 58 for the Philadelphia Eagles.
We all do.
All pro bowler, special teams, winning players.
Yeah.
You know what? In fantasy, I owe you, Ike-Reese.
He went back to that.
Yoshi's coming hot today.
Make it a good final push.
Good final push. All right.
We will consider you, Yoshi. Oh, my God.
I just spared everybody else that's listening.
Yoshi came strong. The one thing Yoshi did not tell us is why we should break the rules for him. Now, he's obviously noticed I like when people come at you like that.
Yes.
And him saying he owns you in fantasy football. It was just strong.
Yeah.
Just strong.
Well, we'll add some intrigue to Yoshi Week next year.
Yes.
Yoshi Week?
I like you versus Yoshi.
Yeah, when you guys are playing each other.
In fantasy.
Oh. In fantasy.
Oh,
yes. If
you said
he's
next
there.
Year.
Yeah, this year.
This year.
This year.
Yeah,
next
if
year.
He's in there.
Oh, if he's in there, I got you. Yeah, I was confused there.
I confused myself. It's all right.
I will give the results of the Twitter poll so far about Rob Thompson right after Mr. Bald and Beautiful tells you to how to do something
you
about
know
that
why he
bald
was late?
Head of yours.
He was late to the read because he was thinking about Yoshi.
I was.
And he got in his head.
He was trying to think in his head, am I really 0-4?
Part I was.
Against him.
All right. For years, you've heard the Glatt Group on WIP talking about their amazing services. Spike just mentioned, I'm bald and beautiful. But not everybody can be as lucky as I am. The Glatt Group, they know so many people that think hair restoration is a one-and-done procedure, but that's not the case. The Glatt Group have restoration treatments to strengthen your hair before you need a hair transplant, as well as options to maintain your existing hair after a transplant. And their newest option is completely non-invasive. No needles, no pain, and no downtime. It's called TED, which stands for Trans-Epidermal Delivery. Now, that's where the growth factors are delivered directly to the hair follicles, and both men and women are seeing great results from this procedure. What are you waiting for? Give my friends at the Glatt Group a call. Always at the forefront of technology. Call them today, 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com. Again, that's 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com and tell them Ike-Reese sent you.
Ike, I am in awe of your baldness and your beautifulness.
Thank you, brother.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Is the criticism of Rob Thompson mostly fair or unfair? What do you think the percentages are on that, Ike?
Fair.
70% fair. 30% unfair.
Notice fan base, man.
I think
when they're mad, they just listen. We've already ate the carcasses of everybody else,
right? Yes.
Somebody else has to be taken out to the back,
right? Everyone else is left for dead. The buzzers have gotten to them.
Yes,
yeah. Ian in Baltimore, you're on WIP. Is it Ian or Ian?
Ian.
No one is named Ian.
Ian Ziering.
Ian Eagle.
Ian Ziering.
And by the way, I call him Ian Eagle because there's no such thing as Ian.
There are at least two Ians I know.
That's because you went to Episcopal.
No, it's because he was on 90210. Not personally, but Ian Ziering is Ian.
What's his last name?
Ian Ziering.
Ian Eagle. Yeah.
There are Ians.
Pipe down, Shataz.
Yeah.
Relax over there. It's Ian.
Okay.
Like everyone else in the world.
All right. Ian, you're on WIP. Like everyone else in the world.
Yeah, I think Rob Thompson would be blamed. This started when they started that Yankee series and got slacked. And then they came to Baltimore and got beat. And he never made any changes. I think it's all on him. He doesn't make any. And a couple of days ago when he had Alvarado in there for four walks, walked that thing in, I was dying. So,
but they were already losing, and it saved the guys for the next night so they could win the game. Like, if Hoffman pitches that night, does he not get to come back the next night?
I think to a certain extent, Ian or Ian, whatever it is. I'm just kidding. I think to a certain extent, the frustration that you're feeling is frustration that there are not enough good players. Like the moment the other night when he left Alvarado in. Okay. So he has a choice. Rob Thompson has a choice. Rob Thompson has to think about, all right, I'm in the playoffs, right? And I need X number of relievers to get through the playoffs. The math doesn't work if Alvarado is not there. And it is his best shot of all of the – if we assume we're trusting Hoffman, Strom, and unfortunately Estevez, Orion Kierkegaard is an if, and Alvarado's an if. And what he's trying to do is give himself enough relievers eventually to get through the playoffs. So he's trying to save Alvarado. Now, did it cost them a run? It did. But I think it's a little difficult for him to try to win every single game, every moment, and think about, well, how is this going to look in a month, month and a half? Now, the criticism I understand is if they don't figure it out now, there might not be like an October for the Phillies. I understand it, but I think largely the problems are roster related and player related and not Rob Thompson related.
Yes, I disagree with it. They didn't do anything at the break, and it was just like, no, we're going to win with what we have. So that's what we're stuck with, unfortunately.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, Ian.
All right, Ian.
Yeah. VP of the LTBB.
Veep!
Kimberly, you're on WIP.
Yeah, I'm out for months, and then I'm in 2 days in a row, so here I am.
It's almost like it's fantasy football season, Veep. I'm just saying, like, you can grace us with your presence more than just, I think I want to get in the league again.
Like, now, you did.
I hear you.
You did show great kindness yesterday in giving away the spot potentially to what was the name of the guy?
James,
who gave tickets to Justin. So that carries weight, Veep.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I try to be honest and do the right thing, but also, yeah, I want to be in the league. And unlike Yoshi, I'm not going to try and break any rules here. I'm not going to try and goad Ike into letting me in by, saying that I own him or anything, though.
Now, did you beat Ike the 1 year that you were in, or did Ike beat you?
I did. No, I did better than Ike did.
Damn.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, they're managers and they're players.
Well, yeah. I mean, hold on.
Oh, that's not fair.
That's where I do blame the players. It's not my fault guys don't show up that week to play.
Big claims of players in fantasy.
But, I mean, I will be dedicated. I will drive up from D.C. for the draft. I will call in every week.
Yeah.
I will draft well. I will propose trades, and I will bring some female kick-ass energy to the league.
And we need that. We can't just get that from Spike.
Wow. Wow. Is that what we're doing, Fritz?
Yep, no one's safe.
It's been a long day.
Holy moly. It's a long day. It's 2:48 or whatever.
Veep, how would you feel about Dan Wilson being the commissioner of the league? Did you think that he did a good job in his interview yesterday?
I do. I think you guys tried to give him a trick question at the end when you asked, if there was a trade that was more aligned for Ike but was unfair to the rest of the league. There's no right answer to that.
Because
he needs to say that he's going to hook Ike up, but he needs to say that he's going to be fair to the league. And he did a really good job.
Yep.
Yeah, the only thing is that, Kimberly, the answers were so long. and we've had trouble with Buzz not shutting up. And I'm just concerned.
We can always look for some conciseness from Buzz.
I'm concerned. Well, I've been asking for conciseness since I arrived in April, maybe even before that. And I'm a little concerned this may empower him and that mic may creak open a little more often than it needs to.
Yeah, I can sense that.
So, all right. Well, we have to decide on one within the next 3 minutes because we promised one an hour. So you are officially registered for potentially being in the fantasy league, Veep.
Oh, officially for potentially. Okay,
well,
yes.
Well, we have to hear everyone out before we make a decision.
Fair enough. I will hold my breath for the next 3 minutes.
All right.
Alrighty.
All right.
I like it. All right, Veep. Well, she beat you too, Ike.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen. Sometimes when you knock off the big dog, those are memorable wins.
Yes,
right? That's what they call.
Yep.
Memorable wins.
It's like when the Cowboys beat the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a memorable win for the Cowboys, right? I managed to make the playoffs every year.
Yep.
So that's what I hold my hat on.
You really are the Rob Thompson of fantasy.
Just gets there.
I've not won it yet. I got to admit, I have not won it, but I made the playoffs every year.
The Peyton Manning of the fantasy football league. All right. We will continue the conversation about Rob Thompson. Do you think he deserves more blame, less blame, the same? 215-592-9494. Now, we do have to decide who from the first hour. I'm going to say that I think Veep should get in the league. And honestly, her call today was only so-so, but yesterday, her coming
act of
in,
kindness,
act yes. of kindness, giving the spot away to somebody else potentially, I thought was very big of her. I think she should be in, even though she's a Wentz person.
Ooh, well, so is Yoshi, and so is Justin,
well,
so is the backbone of this show
exactly.
is Wentz, people.
Well, don't bite the hand that feeds us. Yeah.
I'm going to start turning everybody.
That was a real quarterback.
So we'll continue the conversation about Topper. Also next.
Poor Yoshi, by the way.
But we still got 3 more hours.
Yeah, he's registered. He's got 3 more hours. We don't necessarily have to pick him yet, but he's got 3 more hours. But it would break a rule. So coming up next, Elliot Shore Parks will join us. Training camp is over. Talk about the newest Eagle, Jahan Dotson. If he's guaranteed to be in that third wide receiver spot. Will he play in the slot? Will he play on the outside? That is next. And also, are there any people that are going to make the team or get cut that we'd be surprised by? Elliot Shore Parks joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.